Thank you for tuning in to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich. I'm your program producer, Luke Zemlich. On Epiphany, our goal is to have a moment, an epiphany that will bring us all closer to God. So stick around to have an epiphany with us.
Welcome to the Epiphany program on Holy Family Radio. We're glad you're with us here today. Our guest today is Jamin Harold from the Diocese of Kalamazoo. He is in the Office of the New Evangelization and Catechesis. Welcome, Jamin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Did I get your title and all that correct?
Or yeah, it's pretty close.
Do you want to adjust that a little bit so that what is it exactly?
My office is Secretariat for Catholic Education and New Evangelization.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to talk about a few things today, and hopefully they'll be very exciting for you, our listeners, and some very good information on things that are going on in the diocese, things that Jamin is engaged in, and even things that you may be able to help with in your own parishes on promoting some of the programs that the diocese is promoting that he is actively in. So the new evangelization, we kind of hear this kind of shouted from the rooftops. We hear it very often. We are all called by our baptism to evangelize our brothers and sisters. Maybe not exactly our brothers and sisters in our homes or our own families, because as they say, we are not a prophet in our own house. Right. And we also we got to be careful with family members. Sometimes it's good to send in somebody else on those special missions. But we're called to try to bring each other to heaven.
Right.
So that's our goal. So is there anything that you can tell us about the new evangelization, some of the things that are going on in the diocese?
Right, yeah. New evangelization, you're right. It's been one of those keywords over the last maybe 20 years or so, and really it's longer than that. Paul VI really first started talking about evangelization after Vatican II and what was necessary to evangelize. And part of the problem was everybody still, I think, thought evangelization was going out to other nations, going out to the heathens,
right,
and taking the gospel message there and getting them. And John Paul II really started looking at everything and saying, and Paul VI had mentioned this as well, but John Paul II really took this on in a greater sense and saying, look, we're heathens in our own area.
That's right. Plenty of heathens out there, including the ones who some who are listening.
Right, right. And, you know, I could say I was raised Catholic, but there was a good time that I was heathen.
Right, right.
You know, I didn't know my faith. I didn't understand my faith. I didn't embrace my faith. I didn't love my faith.
Right.
We're in a what many are calling a post-Christian world.
Yes.
We've had the Christian mindset, and we've gotten to where people are so much beyond that. It's like we don't want to love our neighbor because that's what Christ called us to do. We're loving our neighbor because that's just the humanitarian thing to do. That's just the good thing to do.
Right.
And we see that as we go there, it's starting to weaken that. So we're in this post-Christian world. We're in this idea that even though Christ may be on people's mind, even though people may have heard the name Christ and heard Jesus, they don't know who Jesus is.
Right.
They know the name of Jesus.
Maybe one day a week they know Jesus.
Right.
I know Jesus from 11 o'clock to 12:15. Thank you, Jesus, and see you next week.
I think in my own life, and you mentioned family, you mentioned we aren't prophets in our own house. And
that's
everything
right.
else. And I think of my own family, and it's very much, you know, the faith was private. And it was so private in my own family that when I started coming to the faith, and I started talking to my parents about prayer and what prayers do you do and everything, the answer was, well, that's private.
Right.
That's between me and God.
Correct.
And that's the world that we live in. And John Paul II really noticed this, and he sat there and said, we need a new evangelization.
Right.
The new evangelization is going to give us new order, new fire for who Christ is, and new means of doing it.
Yeah.
New ways of doing it, because the old ways of, and even some of the newer ways were being done at the time, of standing on the corner and preaching, standing and, you know, hoping that the liturgy and the homilies at Mass were getting through,
right,
just weren't working anymore.
Yeah. And I think it's also a big part of it, too, is this the defense of the faith, you
right.
know, to really learning how to defend your faith. And of course, these holy fathers who have come before us in the 1950s, they saw that this was coming. They saw this wave of secularism was coming. The wave of communism has come and gone and it is back upon us again in many different ways. And so it is really a, you know what, you better get some ammunition because we're in for the fight of our lives. Right. We're in for the fight of our faith. And it's not just, it's going to be important to save your neighbor, but it's also going to be important to save yourself.
Right. Well, you can't give what you don't have, and that's exactly it. How am I going to save my neighbor?
I mean, you bet.
I think of all the time when I fly, and they talk about the oxygen mask, and they always sit there and say, I've got young kids, I've got 5 kids, and they always sit there and say, put the mask on yourself first, and then put it on your child.
Right.
That's what the new evangelization is. It's taking those that are already in the pews that feel like they might already be saved and saying, No, you need to put the oxygen mask on.
That's right.
You need to increase your faith. You know, I love Dynamic Catholicism by Matthew Kelly. It's been out there, and he proposes that there's about 7% of Catholics that are what would be considered a dynamic Catholic, somebody who's praying daily, who's studying more, who's evangelizing others, and who are the ones that are stepping up and volunteering in the parish.
And the ones who are listening to Catholic radio.
Exactly. So thank you for being a dynamic Catholic and being out there. And the fact of the matter is, if we want to get to 8%, if we want to get to 9%, those 7% of you that are out there, all of you that are listening to Catholic radio, you need to increase your prayer life. You need to increase your study. You need to, because until we share better, until we know better, until we have that greater fire in our own bellies and in our own hearts, we're not going to get to that 8%. We're not going to get to that 9%. But as we get to that 8%, now we've increased that 8%. That eighth percent is the one that's now getting that fire, that's getting that love, that's getting that, and it's going to go out and get the next person.
You bet.
And that's how we're going to grow. But we have to start within our own church and then build out from there. The new evangelization is not about going to a country that hasn't heard Christ. Yeah, we're still doing that. We still have mission work.
You bet.
But mission work is happening right here in our own churches, in our own pews, with the person sitting next to you at Mass every single week, with the person that's behind you, with the person that has the kids that are crying, that feel ashamed because they've got kids crying. It's that turning around to them and saying, thank you for bringing your kids. Yeah. Thank you for
being here. Okay. Do you want me to hold one of your kids?
Right.
You know, I mean, do you want me to help you in any way? And you're right, to reinforce people, because I hear that from young people too, you know. Right. The looks, you know. Somebody just turning around, give them the look, you know. Gee whiz, you got kids. Yeah, guess what, you know. No kidding, I got kids, you know. I'm barely trying to control them here.
Right.
So really and I'm glad you brought that up, Jamin, to really love and support the people who are already in the pews, you know, to really be aware of our brothers and sisters. You know, am I my brother's keeper? I was saying that to a person the other day. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, you either are or you aren't. You know, you either are or you aren't. And if you aren't your brother's keeper, it's going to be pretty lonely for you because no one's going to help you either.
Right.
You know, that's usually how that works out is, you know, when you're not willing to help others, when you need help, it's going to be slim. The chances of someone wanting to help you or you even engaged in that type of attitude and even God looking down on us saying, well, you know, he doesn't like to help others, so, you know, maybe we shouldn't send him any help, you know. It's almost that type of an attitude. So we got to be really careful with that, you know. Am I my brother's keeper or not? Right. And that's where this new evangelization is. It's critical, and it's hard for me, too. Here I am. I'm a deacon, you know, and I'm not, you know, every time when those opportunities come up, I see an opportunity, and I'm like, you know, maybe I should mind my own business. You know, maybe it's not my turn. But generally, the next time it comes around, you know, the second knock on the door, I better answer it, and I better be able to take care of it.
Yeah, and the closer we get to God, the more I realize, you know, the closer I get, the more quickly I realize those opportunities that I missed.
Yeah.
And start to make myself aware, or God makes me aware of those opportunities in the future.
Absolutely.
So that when they come back up again, but again, it's about what am I doing with my own prayer life, what am I doing with my own study, so that I can go out there and help somebody else. And it has to organically flow from that, this desire and this love to share who Jesus Christ is, what he's done in my life.
Right.
This opportunity to really sit there and say, I want to share who Christ is.
Yes.
I want other people to know and to feel and to sense that love that I have.
Absolutely. So on ideas, I think it's a, you know, if we can talk for a little bit about ideas on, you know, baseline on up, how do I evangelize? And I think, you know, we spoke about one thing early on here, which is, you know, turning around and saying to the person in the pew, you know, you have a beautiful family.
Right.
You know, I'm glad your family's here. And don't worry about, you know, there being a little bit of noise or something like that. It's also a good idea, you know, because if you have all those kids, you know, we are supposed to read the scriptures before we go to church, you know, to prepare ourselves to hear the word and receive the Eucharist at Mass. So let's talk about some ideas on how do I evangelize. And one of those, I have always thought the best evangelization is smiling.
Right. Well, and Pope Francis is definitely talking about this a lot. I mean, the joy, the smile, the, and I think about it even when I was a kid, you know, what did you think of a religious person growing up? And,
right.
and as a kid, I always saw that stoic, you know, monk out in the wilderness with the stern face and you know, ready to pray at all times and all that. And I still remember I went on this retreat in high school. And there were these beautiful nuns there in full habit, and they're out there playing basketball with the kids, and they're out there trying to do tricks on skateboards
awesome.
That the kids were teaching them and everything else. And just this joyful smile on their face and seeing the priests with joyful smiles on their faces. That's what the faith is about. The faith is bringing us joy and peace and love.
Right.
And sure, there's moments of stoicism, and there's moments of that, and we see the icons with the stoic faces, but more times, the reason that somebody was in this faith is because of the joy that it brought them.
Right.
The early church, the reason the people went and were willing to be martyrs for the faith was because of the joy. And that's what surprised people, is that they went to their death smiling.
Right.
They went to their death with joy and peace. And so you're right. I think smiling at people, and it's amazing. I will go through experimental times where I just sit there, I'm going to smile at everybody I see.
Yeah, that's right.
And the looks you get in the grocery store.
when
you walk through the grocery store and you're just smiling. And it really changes who you are, too. The joy that you feel. Things bother you less. And especially when you're doing that in such a way that you're saying, well, I'm smiling because I love Jesus. And so every time you smile and somebody gives you a weird look, you just sit there and say, man, God is great.
That's right. That's
God is great. So that's definitely one thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with this new evangelization, some of these ideas that you say of how do we do this, how do we – is you know, I'm going to go back to that starting with our own lives, examining ourselves every day.
Yes.
Examining where we are with God, where could we have done better? And I encourage families to do this. I encourage husbands and wives to do this. There's this idea out there that it's 50-50, but it's not. It's 100-100.
That's right.
And it's not looking at the end of the day, what could my wife have done better for me today, but looking at my life and saying, what could I have done better for my wife? And I bring that up a lot because a relationship with our spouse – it's very similar to what our relationship with God should be.
Absolutely.
And God's always giving 100%. So if we're doing that, if I'm looking at what could I have done better for my wife each day, what could I have done better for God this day? Knowing where we are, feeling that joy, waking up in the morning and doing that prayer, reading the readings before we go to Mass, all those things are naturally going to lead to us wanting to share that faith.
Yes.
When we wake up different, when we wake up in peace, when everything's falling around us when we go to work and the whole world just seems to be falling down, and you can keep that peace because you know Jesus Christ, somebody's going to look at you and say, what's different about you?
Very good.
What's going on?
Very good. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Epiphany Radio program on Holy Family Radio, 91.5 FM in the Kalamazoo area and 1140 AM in the Grand Rapids area. We're speaking with Jamin Harold with the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're talking about the new evangelization. We're going to be talking about that and some other things in the program here going ahead. So, and we're talking right now about things that we can do in the new evangelization, and kind of the baseline of that is for most of us an easy thing to do, easy thing for us to work on is smiling and being being an attraction to other people in our faith. And I've often thought of the fact that so many people, you know, you can't give away, we mentioned that, you can't give away what you don't have. Well, how do we acquire this? How do we acquire this ability to attract people to the faith. And that means all people to the faith, you know. I mean, it's the church is an emergency room, so it's not a retirement home for saints. That's what heaven is for. But it is here on earth, it's more like an emergency room. And you can run into some people who are not as well as others, you know. I mean, people who've got bad attitudes or people who don't want to talk. And those can be tough people to deal with.
Right.
So to gain this ability to be able to smile, to gain this ability to attract people to us, I think exactly what you're saying, Jamin, is, you know, we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people who go to Mass regularly. We need to be people who are engaged. And a lot of the things, including things that the diocese has going on, ways of improving our faith, ways of getting to know our faith better. I know most of the parishes now have these beautiful Lighthouse Catholic Media has these. Right. These displays that, and if you don't have one in your parish, you know, I encourage you to go to Lighthouse Catholic Media. I think if you Google that, you could, and they have an array of CDs, and of course there's books, and we can go into some of that stuff too. Does the diocese have a, and we can talk as we're going through this, we can talk about ideas too of evangelization too. So, you know, changing myself. Starting with me first, and fully understanding that I may be rejected at times, but also to be able to defend my faith. You know, right. When someone says to me, you know, what about the Immaculate Conception? You know, do you believe that stuff? And yes, as a matter of fact, I do believe that. So how would you like to? Do you want to know something about it? And
right.
And can I catechize you and teach you and show you? How this is where it all began.
Right. Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I think the Lighthouse CDs that you mentioned, there's great books that are out there. I know there's bookstores both in Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo,
yep.
Where you can get great materials and read about your faith and study. And there's obviously programs both in the Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo area that will help you do this. First, I would say don't worry about knowing all the answers.
Right.
Get to know some of the answers.
You bet.
Get to know and get to know who God is better. And don't be worried about somebody asking a question that you can't answer. I think that makes a lot of us afraid to share that. The opportunities that we have, especially with like the Lighthouse CDs, one of the great things I love about this is you sit there and you listen to the CD in your car when you're going to work or home or while you're at your office or whenever. I listen to it with my entire family, so the kids are picking up what they can at their own age.
That's great.
But one that's really good, then I sit there and go, I'm talking to somebody and they ask a question about something. Maybe I don't know the full answer, but I know it's on the CD. It's so easy just to give it to them. Hey, listen to this.
You bet.
That's such an easy way to evangelize, to give somebody a book, to give somebody a CD,
yeah.
To invite somebody to come to a program that you know is good and that there's people to do that. And those are just so easy to do it. And I can tell you, you know, you talk about smiling, you talk about how do we attract people to it. I've right. always found that hard because I've always been such an extreme introvert. People right. are always surprised by that because I get up in front of people. I get up in front of 600 people.
Yeah,
and talk
you do
to
a
them.
Great job.
And
yeah.
I love doing that. But I am an extreme introvert. You put me in a room at a Christmas party where I hardly know anybody. Or if I know one or two people, I'm going to go over to that one person I know, and I'm going to talk to them the entire time. And they're
right.
probably sitting going, how can I get away
yeah.
from him?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to stand in the corner and wait for somebody to come to me. So for me, it's always been like, here I am working in new evangelization. Here I am trying to be an attraction to the faith.
Right.
And how do I do that when I have this so much of a fear of this individual conversation, this one-on-one conversation? Where's it going to go? How's it going to be? What are we going to say? And these are icebreakers. These
yeah.
are ways of saying, hey, have you heard the CD?
That's right.
You know, it's being ourselves, but being ourselves in such a way that we invite Christ into each of those relationships. For me as an introvert, it's as I'm about ready to talk to somebody, it's saying a quick prayer to the Holy Spirit, saying, let these be your words, not mine.
Amen.
I pray every day that the Lord will open up an opportunity for me to share my faith with somebody. And it doesn't happen every day, at least not that I see. I know
right.
there are times that I don't see it, that God works those wonders. But what happens when you start praying that and you start seeing that is you start to have just little opportunities that arise. I do that a lot. You talked about at the beginning of this program about not being able to preach to your own family all that easy, and I have that struggle too.
Sure. Well, it's not a good idea. I'm just telling you right now. Just don't do it.
Preach,
just
to preach to them, no.
Go get the next door neighbor. And
but I will
talk
tell
to
you
them about Jesus.
I will tell you the same prayer works. This prayer to say, "Give me an opportunity to share. Give me an opportunity to evangelize, even with my own family." Really works well, and I can't say that I've done this with my family extremely well. Like you said, it's very difficult. One of the reasons for that is they know all my sins. I'm a hypocrite
sure,
to them.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's always very difficult. How can he know what's going on when I know that he's done this or that? They know my past, you know. They know how it used to be.
Our children are our best molders. I mean, right. I have the same thing going on, you know. My children are, you know. That doesn't sound like something a deacon would say.
Right.
And my wife as well, God bless her, she would say, you know, that doesn't sound anything like a deacon would say.
Right.
Or Deacon Louie, you know, please.
But, you know, we follow what St. Monica did. We pray. And we look for those opportunities, and those opportunities will present themselves. My sister, for example, who is very into, she's in her 20s, she's very into the millennial mindset, you know, no religion, spirituality.
Right.
Very into mysticism, and not in the Catholic mysticism sense, but in mystical experiences and gems and jewels and all that. And very anti-Catholic. She had a very bad experience going through a confirmation
program. That's too bad.
And so I've always tried to want to bring her back, but again, she knows me.
And
what I've done is I've really prayed. I've really prayed for these opportunities. And the last time that I was down there, she's in Charlotte, so it's quite a ways, Charlotte, North Carolina, so she's quite a ways away from here.
Right.
So I don't get to see her very often, but once every year, year and a half. And last time I was down there, we went out to a movie together, and I really tried to heal the relationship that we had.
Good for
first
you.
First and foremost.
Good for you.
And what happened is after the movie, at drinks, she started opening up. She started sitting there saying, because she saw my kids. And she sat there and said, why did they do this? Why did, and to be able to share the faith in that way. And not about a doctrinal way, not in about a way of saying, you need to change your life, you need to get away from this. But in a way of just sitting there saying, there is this joy.
Yeah.
There is this peace. She talks about, you know, different struggles that she knows my family has gone through, and she says, how did you get through that?
Right.
Well, because I know Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because he's the one that gets me through that. You're right. I couldn't get through this. I couldn't make it through that.
Right.
My family wouldn't be able to do that if it hadn't been for
We can't
for
do me. This stuff by ourselves on our own. I mean, we can do it, but it is going to be horrible.
Right.
It's going to be hell, basically.
And so that's just the entrance, you know, and hopefully she's thinking about it now. You know, that's my hope and my
that's
prayer.
That's a great witness.
And so that I think is an example. You know, as failed as it may be in my own life, that's an example of different things that we're called to do. Starting with prayer, starting with the opportunity to be willing to share, to know what it is, to understand that our faith is not just a private thing. Our faith affects the entire world.
Absolutely. We're talking with, in case you've just joined us, we're talking with Jamin Harold from the Diocese of Kalamazoo. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick. And this is Holy Family Radio, 91.5 FM in the Kalamazoo area and 1140 AM in the Grand Rapids area. And we're talking about the new evangelization. We're also talking about, you know, the evangelization of, you know, and I don't want to go back and, well, we're going to, I guess we'll go back and forth because this is... this is how my mind works sometimes, is there's an evangelization of ourselves as well. And we talked about that early on, about the having prayer. Do I pray, or do I just go to Mass once a week, or do I just go to Mass twice a year?
Right.
You know, I often think about how the world would be different. And this is not just a manifestation that's in the Catholic Church, but this is in other churches as well, where people go to church twice a year,
right?
Christmas and Easter. And I think some of it is driven by the consumerism that's going on. And it's like, oh, that's right. The last thing I need to do is we need to go to church. Or probably the children are saying, oh, Mom and Dad, you know, don't we believe in Jesus? Who's this Jesus person, this baby that's going to show up? And so there is this, and I really think in kind of a very a beautiful way, and of course, Catholicism is very beautifully focused on the infancy of Jesus, and Pope Benedict did these beautiful books, Jesus of Nazareth books. But the one that I think I love the most because of, and I think part of it is because of my devotion to the Blessed Mother, is the infancy narratives. And there's so much there in the early years of Christ. And he wasn't preaching yet. He started preaching at 12. Maybe he started preaching before that. But we really have to pay attention to our children.
Right.
Our children really, in a very natural, in a very beautiful way, we need to watch them and how they interact with us and how they truly evangelize us.
Right.
Firstly, they get us back to the church to get the babies baptized, you know, and right. to receive the sacraments. The children, you know, when am I going to be able to go up there and receive Holy Communion? When's that going to happen for me, Mom? When's that going to happen for me, Dad? And it's like, well, you know, it'll happen pretty soon, you know. Yeah. You know, well, first of all, we have to come to church more often.
That's right.
You know, and not just stop there. So evangelizing ourselves, which has been a big, it's been a big process for me. I mean, it's, you know, my story of where I've come from too has been very interesting too, but it's an everyday thing of getting on your knees and praying, asking God, asking the Holy Spirit, you know, what do you want me to do today?
Right.
What is the plan today? And it really makes life not only more exciting, but it also in areas where there's hurt in our families, there's a chance for healing. Not that I'm going to fix it.
Right.
Because we have to be very careful of that we're not going to fix it.
Especially us men. Us men like to fix everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it just takes a different hammer, right?
Right.
A different hammer. A different. I'm not using the right hammer or the right nail. I need to, you know, either hit it harder or something. But it's, you're right. So we have this, you've had this thing with your sister, and I've had stuff with my brothers and every family. That's the other thing, too, is I think we have this this idea that, you know, there's these perfect families out there, and
right.
and while I come from a dysfunctional family, I said, guess what? Everybody comes from a dysfunctional family. I mean, it's just the way it is.
We all have our own dysfunctions, and yet in the midst of all those dysfunctions,
yes.
God exists. You said it so beautifully when you said the children evangelize us.
Yes.
I went and got my degree in theology. I'd been studying it. I've been teaching it, and I learned so much more once I started having children. And how they speak to you, how they look at you. What does the love of a father for his child look like? What does the unconditional love of a child, what does forgiveness look like?
Right.
You know, none of us parent correctly. None of us parent 100% well.
Yeah.
We do the best we can.
It's a process.
I've screwed up, you know.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I've screwed up as a parent. And for the child to not even blink.
Right.
And just give me a great big hug and show
that's okay.
love.
That forgiveness.
The reverse of the prodigal son.
Yeah,
you know, it's
there
the prodigal
you go.
Father going
prodigal
to the
prodigal parent.
Child.
Here we go.
But to witness that, to see that, and I also work within my position, the diocese is working, overseeing some of the religious ed programs or the religious ed programs throughout the diocese and talking to a lot of the catechists and that and how much they get and learn from the students that they have. And
you
so I encourage any of you that are out there, you know, they're always looking for volunteers for this. If
and
this is something you're called to.
Who is that?
So
who's looking for volunteers?
The DREs, the parishes, the pastors.
Get involved.
Get involved and
right.
find what strengths you have. But if you definitely have strengths with kids, if you have strengths with working with children at all, look into that because you grow so much. You get evangelized so much for the kids as you share your faith with them.
Right. And I think something to remember is this too. You know, I had a to kind of because I know we got a lot of stuff to cover, but it's I look back at 10 years ago. I would say it's 10 years ago, and I was sitting in a class for RCIA adult catechesis, adult you know training, and it was my turn to lead in the rosary. Right.
Right.
I was petrified.
Yeah,
I was petrified. I'd always dealt a little bit with, you know, because I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And the panic attack of panic attacks set in. And I'd been sober for 8 years. I've been sober for almost 20 years now. And I walked away. I had to get up. I had to get up and walk out. And to go from that to this, doing this today,
right?
God's involved, right?
God is involved,
and right. God will help you. God will heal you. There will be ways that, you know, you may think that, you know, there's no way that I can do anything. I can't do this stuff. You know, you had mentioned about being an introvert or extrovert, right, not being able to get in front of people. Right. And look at you now, right?
Exactly.
So it's a process. It's not an event. It's a process, and doesn't mean that stuff's not going to happen again, you know, where you're going to get nervous in a situation. It's like, well, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to do this? So this new evangelization of evangelizing myself, helping to remold myself with God's help, is such a beautiful thing. But in the diocese and in the different parishes, like you're saying, of the RCIA programs, to get involved. So how does somebody – can you tell us a little bit about the RCIA programs and that type of thing, right, within parishes, or how the diocese is involved in that?
Yeah. Each parish, of course, has their own program. And the diocese, really, in my position in the diocese, is to help promote the bishop's vision for how these are going to be done. The bishop, of course, has immediate care over all the souls in the diocese. And these are Catholics and non-Catholics. He has, according to the church, he has immediate care of all the souls within the diocese. And so
wonderful.
He has very proximate care over the education,
right,
of souls in the diocese. And, of course, we know that the parents are the primary educators, and the church is there to assist them and to build that up. And as primary educators, I can tell you, as much as I know about God, I still need the church's help. We need to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And so the programs are there. And so some of the things are very boring and drab, and the policies and procedures that have to happen in order to keep the kids safe and all.
Sure,
that.
Absolutely.
But the exciting part comes in, you know, looking out there and saying, you know, here's something that we can put out for the entire diocese, for every program, to say, here's some guidelines of what we think as a diocese, what the bishop thinks the kids need to know each year. The RCIA programs, how do we, as a resource at the diocese, how do we train people that are in the parishes? Because I just told a whole bunch of people to volunteer at the parish, and many of them are sitting there going, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never taught before. I've never done that. It's my job at the diocese. It's the diocese's job to help the parishes to be able to facilitate teachings and ways and learning so that you can feel comfortable doing
that. So you
that.
Get them up to speed.
Yeah.
And generally, okay, so someone wants to, someone has you know, a couple of hours a week that they can give to their parish. And I'll tell you what, it is so important to have these people. Because I'll tell you what, at St. John Bosco, St. Margaret Mary, I mean, they've got great people working there. But I'll tell you what, and they will all attest to this, and they will all witness to it, that they get more out of it than the kids do, I think.
Yeah, God will always,
they really grow.
God will always bless you. I mean, it's that growing tenfold. It's the fruit that grows from service to Him, and that's really who the service is to. And we're there to help, to assist, to get you ready, to prepare you, to strengthen you. And we talked about the kids, but you mentioned RCIA. If you're better working with adults, if you're more comfortable around adults, go with the RCIA program. You know, our goal would be to increase the RCIA program at every parish, to establish such a way. If we get the new evangelization right, if you guys are all out there praying more and sharing more, think about how many people are going to be coming into the church.
Yes.
You know, just from your witness. Or coming back to the church. We live in a society where there's so many people that have lost the mentality of how important it is to go through confirmation.
Yeah.
And so there's so many people out there that didn't go through confirmation. My sister, who had such a bad experience, if she were to come back to the faith, would need that confirmation. They typically go through an RCI program, although RCI wasn't designed for that. But but oftentimes, most of these people are coming back uncatechized. And so the churches are better off putting them into an RCI program so they can be catechized as well. And we need witnesses in that.
You bet.
We need people to be there to help with small groups, to help witness along the way, to sponsor people. The early church was full of sponsors, full of people just walking the journey.
Yes.
And sometimes, having worked in parishes, sometimes even that's hard, finding somebody that's just going to walk the journey with somebody coming to faith. Here you have somebody that for whatever reason has come to the church or come back to the church, and they're sitting there going, I want this. And then we have a hard time finding somebody to just stand next to them.
Just to be a sponsor, people to step up to be sponsors. So I think it is the time is right now, and I think if you're you know, looking for a sign, or you think, you know, well, you know, I don't know what I should do. I feel like I'm being called. The best thing to do is go to your parish, go to your closest Catholic church to you, and go in and say, you know, how can I help?
How can I help?
How can I be trained? Where do you need help? Talk to the pastor. Be prayerful about it. But most of all, you know, do you have a prayer life?
Right.
Are you praying? Are you asking God to guide you? And if you're one of those people who is looking to come back into the church, I know something that we've done at St. John Bosco recently is we've really encouraged the adults who have not been confirmed and the young people who have not been confirmed to had classes. Now we're going to have classes every other year. 1 year will be for older teenagers or teenagers who have missed confirmation, and because that's a great part of evangelization, that right. Refiring of the Holy Spirit, and to get those people in there so that they can be godparents.
Right.
You know, you need to be confirmed. It's very important. If you're ever going to go into holy orders, you need to be confirmed. Plus, it's a reigniting of the faith. It's a reigniting of the Holy Spirit and those gifts of the Holy Spirit, and also for adults and having those programs available. And so I know that is another connection to this new evangelization. But is there any other items or things that you can think of that would be beneficial for people to hear about today that might get them involved? I mean, there's parish programs. I know the diocese has, we had adult formation that right. they had, and that was like 2 years.
Right.
It was amazing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think go to your local parish and look. There's always things going on, and we can talk about some of the diocesan things. One of the things that I think I'd really like to talk about that I think will be a catalyst for this is every year we do a new evangelization catechetical conference.
Yeah, that's right. That's exciting. Very good. Yes.
And last year we had nearly 600 people at it.
Amazing.
And it was wonderful. And even though the word catechetical is in there, it's
right.
not just for people that are catechists that are teaching in the parishes. It's for anybody. Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, anywhere can come. And it's an opportunity to take a day to reignite that faith, to take a day away from things. It's on a Saturday. There's Mass with the bishop. We have opportunities for prayer, opportunities to hear wonderful speakers from across the nation, to have breakout sessions, to delve into things that are deeper. And it's also an opportunity in that to hear some of the great things that are going on in parishes and dioceses and
you
get
bet.
Acquainted with some of the people that are already volunteering in parishes. We had five or six of the priests come this last year. They were able to make it away from their parish to be there. Opportunities to talk with those in leadership to say, hey, where can I get involved? And to really have that day away to listen to some of these different things and say, you know what, I'm really excited about that breakout session
right.
where they talked about street evangelization or where they talked about parish catechesis. And because I'm excited about that, that's God signaling to me that I want to learn more about that and I want to go into that.
You bet.
And do that.
Well, I was amazed with that conference. Of course, I was asked to do this. I did a little segment on Catholics returning home, which was a beautiful segment, which a lot of parishes are instituting some of those programs where to welcome people back into the parish. So if you've been away from the church for a while, you know, call your local parish priest and say, listen, I need to talk to someone about coming back into the church and how do I do that. And it may be as simple as reconciliation. It may be there may be some paperwork you might have to do, but call. The first thing to do is call, because reception of the sacraments, being able to receive the Eucharist again, being able to come back and communion with the church in such a beautiful way to strengthen you. So no matter what has happened to you, if you're listening to the radio right now and you're listening to this and you're looking for a sign, this is it.
This is
it. You know, we're
come back, please.
Absolutely. Come back to the church. Come back to Jesus. Come back to your family, your holy family. I mean, it is a... It's a beautiful thing to be in such a, and we were talking earlier about being in a family where no matter where you live in the world, the Catholic Church is there for you.
Right.
And Jesus is there for you, and the Holy Eucharist is there for you. And we really have to open our hearts and open our minds to being able to say, you know what, this life is not just about going to work and coming home and going to work and going to church once a week and things like that. It's about living the life of Christ every single day, and you got to get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
You got to get out of your comfort zone. So for those of you who are, you don't think, well, I don't get enough out of I think you also have those who say, well, I think Mass is boring. And it's like, well, then you don't understand what the Mass is about.
Right.
And maybe you should understand what the Mass is about.
Yeah.
That this is Jesus Christ truly present in the Holy Eucharist. You don't go anywhere else for that.
Right.
The Catholic Church has that. And, you know, those aren't just the hands of the priest up there. Those are the hands of Jesus.
Right.
And when you go to reconciliation, you're not talking with just a priest. You're talking directly to Jesus.
Right.
And so our world needs this. And we, as Catholics, need not be ashamed. We have to stand up, and we have to witness, and we have to tell our faith and say, yes, I do believe that.
Right.
I do believe that. We're talking about God here. We're not talking about a politician. We're not talking about, somebody at a grocery store or somebody, some other person. We're talking about God. So all these things are possible with God's help. And I was at that conference, to go back to the conference again and talking about the conference, I was so amazed. We were talking earlier that, they're expecting, maybe 200 people. Here's 600 show up.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's... It was a wonderful
experience to have so many people show up and be there. And
right. It's just amazing.
To think about it, I mean, many of us in our churches around, especially in the Kalamazoo Diocese, you're not going to find 600 people at Mass because we're in a much smaller parishes.
And that's true,
there's a few parishes in the diocese that have that many that come to Mass. But to... And you talked about, being able to go anywhere and be part of the Catholic faith. And, you can go to France and go to a Catholic church, and it's the same. It's a different language, but you know what's going on.
That's right.
You can feel comfortable and everything else. Well, now you come together, and there's 600 other adults that are trying to do this, that are trying to grow in their faith,
right?
That are struggling through everything. And you know that for every person that's there, there's five people that couldn't make it.
You bet.
Or they didn't know about it, or... wanted to be there. And so all these people that you can help to strengthen your own faith, that fire, you light a match and you put it in a corner of a room and it lights up just a little bit of an area.
Yeah.
You get 10 people in there, all with lit matches. Yeah. It starts lighting it up. I used to do this with a youth group that I did, 7th and 8th graders.
The darkness runs away.
We used to we'd turn off all the lights except for the security light that was always on. And we would do our prayers. And at the end of our session... And I would take the Easter candle from the year before because you can't just get rid of the Easter candle. So this was a way to burn it down the rest of the way.
We'd
take the Easter candle from the year before, we'd light it, and then we would do a prayer about the light of Christ. We would go back to the baptismal promises where the light was given to people.
Nice.
And each kid would have their own candle. And when they come up, they could say a prayer of thanksgiving. They could ask for something that they needed. Or they could just do a silent prayer if they didn't feel comfortable in front of others saying what it was. And they'd light their candle. It was amazing how bright the room would be after everybody had a candle. And it served that dual purpose. It was a great prayer experience, but also that idea for each of these students that if I'm living this faith, if I've got this fire of faith in there and I go out into the world that may seem dark.
Yes.
That may seem against us, that may seem like a struggle, it's going to start lighting that up.
That's right.
And not only that, but now I start to see all those people that can help me on my journey.
Right.
That can be there for me, that can help with this, because we are all struggling here.
You bet.
But we know that darkness is just an absence of light.
That's right.
It's just an absence of God.
That's right.
And so the light that is God, that's going to permeate throughout all that we do and all that we are. And we know that people are hungry and struggling and wanting the Lord.
Wonderful. That's really great, Jamin. Just in case you're joining us, welcome to the Epiphany radio program on Holy Family Radio, 91.5 FM in the Kalamazoo area and 1140 AM in the Grand Rapids area. We're speaking with Jamin Harold from the Diocese of Kalamazoo. He is in charge of the Office of the New Evangelization and Catechesis, and we're talking about the New Evangelization Conference, amongst other things that we've been talking about, the conference which is held generally every fall, in October typically, and what a great explosion of beautiful, all these people showing up last year,
right.
And really... people of all different, and including people who are not Catholic. And I would encourage people who are not Catholic who are listening to, you know, if you don't want to get into an RCIA program, and that's the other thing, too, with the RCIA programs, people who are not Catholic or people who are from other churches or have no faith at all, or if you're an atheist or what have you, you know, if you're just interested, you can sit in this class. Right up until Easter, you can sit in that class for 5 or 6 months.
Right.
And if it's the day before Easter and you decide you don't want to enter into the Catholic Church, you don't have to.
We won't shackle you the first day.
That's exactly right. You know, we'll be sad about it, but it's got to be this free choice.
Right.
And we instruct you and we tell you and we lay it all out in the open exactly what you're entering into.
Right.
But you're entering into the most beautiful relationship you could ever imagine. And just to say, you know, well, you know, I've met the most beautiful girl, the most handsome man in the world, and I'm going to marry him today. Well, that sounds pretty great, and it might be pretty awesome and everything. But when you're getting married in the church, if you're marrying this, several evangelists talk about, you know, everybody's in wedding dresses. You know, when you're all getting married to Jesus, including the guys. You know, it seems kind of weird, but the thing is that that's what's happening. You know,
exactly.
You're getting married to Jesus Christ. You're getting married to God. You're coming into this family in such a beautiful, intimate way, and it takes time.
Right.
It takes a little bit of learning about what I'm entering into, and it's serious.
Right.
This is serious stuff. This is, you know, you're entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ that will be a treasure for the rest of your life and for a treasure for eternity. So we encourage those who are not Catholic, people of wherever faith formation you're at, are coming back into the church to go to this conference because it is dynamic.
It's very dynamic, and we get great speakers coming in to talk to us, great opportunities to learn about your faith and grow in that and to maybe be reintroduced to who Jesus is in this grand way.
Now, there is a speaker who's coming. I know that you do have a speaker that's coming this year who is – can you tell us anything about – there's going to be several speakers. There's going to be more than just one. But can you tell us anything about her?
Yeah, our keynote's going to be Meg Hunter-Kilmer. She's got a blog on piercedhands.com.
Okay, piercedhands.com.
Yep, and she's a beautiful young woman who is dedicating her life to the Lord. She has explored religious vocation and discerned out and discerned at this point in time that's not what God's calling her to.
Okay.
But she's taken what she would even say is a radical call to Christ in a unique way. She has a master's degree in theology and had been teaching at a Catholic high school and doing some catechetics at the local parish. And she left all that, and she got rid of her home, and all she has is her car and her clothes, and she literally just goes from place to place wherever God is calling, whoever calls up and says, hey, can you come here?
Wow.
And just talks about Jesus Christ and who he is and can present on just about any topic whatsoever.
Amazing.
And she's going to talk to us a little bit about what we're talking about today, being the new evangelization. How do we live that? How do we embody what it means to be the new evangelization?
Yeah.
And maybe not in the same calling that she has. She knows that's a radical call. We're not all called to just live in our car and do that. Although she gets some benefits. She was in Hawaii in January.
Wow,
so
nice.
Somebody flew her out to Hawaii.
That's good.
there are some benefits to that.
Kind of a little vacation too.
Yeah, God will bless you in many ways when you do take that radical call. But what is radical in our life? For many of us, there's a lot of things, and just taking the next step may feel radical.
Yeah, like smiling in the grocery store.
Like talking to somebody that you don't know.
I'm going to smile when I go into the grocery store.
Like you know, taking your Bible to work and reading it during lunch hour.
Yeah.
You know, those are all radical things for many of us. And what, how can we do that next step? But she's a beautiful witness of this complete devotion to God. You know, and you and I were talking about that, and it just seems like, oh, she must have come from a really Catholic family that
right,
was
yeah.
really just ardent, and they must have lots
everybody's
of priests and
holy.
Nuns, and everybody's holy. And she wasn't. She was very much in a family like mine. They went to church every once, and actually probably less than mine. Mine went to church every Sunday. She talks about, you know, that there were times that they didn't and everything else, and she was
sure.
in a very progressive Washington, D.C. family. You know, a lot of the feminist movement and everything else was very keen to what she's being taught. And like all of us, she had that deep longing in her heart for something more.
Yeah.
And she got introduced by somebody to who Jesus was in that relationship. And that relationship started everything to where she went and got her degree in theology, wanted to teach at the high schools, and then felt this greater call.
Awesome.
And she calls herself a hobo for Christ. And I love
that's
that
good.
When she has downtime, she'll go to a beach, and she just stands on the beach with a sign that says free prayers and waits for people to come up to her and say, what do you mean free prayers? What's that all about? Or some people to go, yeah, I'll take anything for free.
Yeah.
So
she's going to be at the conference.
She's going to be at the conference.
That'll be exciting.
She'll be a great witness for us.
And last year you had, I know I did the thing on, I did a little segment thing for an hour on Catholics returning home, really trying to teach other people in other parishes, as well as people who were there who may have been returning back to the church, too,
right.
on things like that. So it's a very educational event. It's a very it's a cheerleading event,
yes.
so to speak. It is a you know, the bishop is there. There's food there, and it was at the fairgrounds last year, and which held, you know, a lot of people, and it was just incredible. But the you know, some of the stuff that I really enjoyed was the explanation of the Mass.
Oh, yes.
By Dr. Siri, isn't it?
Sri.
I know he was trying to tell us everybody.
Like how 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, that's right. And, you know, his explanation of the Mass. And I know he's got CDs that are on that Lighthouse Catholic Media.
Right.
I know he's got CDs, and those are at your local parishes. But, you know, even that is a – and they're always looking for people who are willing to do stuff. Even Holy Family Radio is always looking for people to evangelize for Holy Family Radio.
Right.
And, of course, just like with the diocese and like with Holy Family Radio, all this stuff takes money to
right.
run these things, too.
Right.
So if part of your evangelization, part of your reaching out is you're able to write a check – you know, even if it's $10 a month or $10 a year or more if you can, if that can be, you know, those monies can be given to the diocese, those monies can be given to Holy Family Radio or whatever ministry you choose, but that's part of evangelizing too.
Exactly.
You know, so everyone has their own little thing that they can do to be able to help and be able to encourage, and there's always great opportunity in that area. So I would encourage people to, you know, stay tuned on that. We'll probably do a program just on that once all the speakers are put into place. But there last year there was how many speakers did we have last year?
We had a total of 13 speakers.
13 speakers. It was huge, and about half of those were like big headliners.
So.
They were like nationwide speakers, were they not?
We had two.
I mean, I'm not a nationwide speaker.
Two that were definitely national. A couple that were at least statewide.
Right.
And the rest were local.
They were dynamic people, though. I mean, really right. great people. And you think to yourself, you know, well, I can't do that, or that's too much for me. And you know what? You're right. It is too much for just you.
Right.
But with God's help, all things are possible.
And I think that's one of the great things about that conference, to come together and see that it's not just you.
Yeah.
That we're one piece in, amongst many.
Yeah.
That we are really together and strengthening the church together. And that we're able to share in that together.
Right.
That we struggle together, that we have successes together, that we are strengthened together. And there's such a great opportunity at that to learn and see what I can do
right.
individually throughout the year.
Yeah.
How can I step up? What can I do in the parishes?
We got a little bit more time. We can talk about, is there anything else on the new evangelization or catechesis that you'd like to touch on in this program today, Jamin, that you'd like to, I know you've got this Energizer program. Right. We got a little bit of time, probably another 5 or 10 minutes. We can talk about that.
Right. Yeah, I would just, you know, to give a quick segue into what if the Energizer is. I talked about how much energy you get at this conference, and we do that often. We go to conferences, we go to retreats and everything else, and we get on this high. We go up onto the mountain.
Right.
And you come back, and you go back to work, and then it just seems like Satan works his little magic with us, and everything kind of falls apart, and we're kind of down, and we feel like we're in the valley. The Energizer is just this opportunity to really re-energize that which we get, the faith that we have. And so we try to do it monthly through the school year. It's at St. John Bosco in Mattawan. So it's actually the most central parish in the Kalamazoo Diocese. I actually literally took a map and drew a big circle, and it was the centrally located one. And
right in the middle.
Yeah, no parish in the Kalamazoo Diocese has traveled more than about an hour and a half to get there.
Okay.
But it's the third Saturdays of the month, and we have – it's for all ages. Infants all the way to on the deathbed.
You bet.
Anybody can come, and what we do is we come together. We have food at first. We have some praise and worship music from a great band called Clean Slate.
Awesome.
And then we break up into adults, youth and young adults, and kids, and have a talk, and we have crafts. And the crafts are more than just let's put little fuzzies on a lamb. There's a talk that goes with it. Oftentimes there's a saint that goes with it.
Nice.
I know my kids especially – every single week, they're like, is this Energizer week? Is this Energizer week?
Right.
Is this Energizer week?
Yeah.
And, you know, the first craft that we did, we talked about Nicodemus and about how he had always hid money and stored money away. And then after Jesus came to visit him, he shared his treasures out. And so they all got gold coins to put in a treasure box, chocolate gold coins. And they got to eat one, but they had to find other people throughout the week to share it with. And so they had to tell the story of why they were sharing it and everything else. And then after all that, we have an opportunity for adoration. And so we all come together,
beautiful
infants to adults, together to pray before our Lord. On the altar, in the Eucharist. And it's just a beautiful experience. And families, if you have young kids, please come to it and bring your kids. Kids need to experience adoration. They need to experience the love of Jesus Christ in that way. And it's okay if they're fidgety. It's okay if they're crying. This is the environment for that. We've designed this specifically so that we can have that. We got a little bit of music, a little bit of meditation during it, ways to help the kids concentrate a little bit better.
Very nice.
But they need to have that experience with Jesus Christ. And so this is a great opportunity each month to be able to go and get re-energized after these events.
And that typically runs like the school year.
School year,
so it's about 9 or 10 months out of the year.
Right.
You have this on the third Saturday.
Yep. And you can always visit our website, diocesecalamazoo.org, and to the Secretary for New Evangelization. We've got...
And you don't have to come every month. If you could come, you know, every other month or just try it out. You know, this may be the type of thing, something for you to start at. So start doing to enjoy this new evangelization, some of the things that are going on in the diocese. So you really got to step out of your comfort zone and try some different things. And so we've been speaking here with Jamin Harold from the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and this is the Epiphany radio program on Holy Family Radio. And it's been a real pleasure having you here, Jamin, and I'm really looking forward to talking about the new evangelization conference next year, but this year, and I hope that I hope people who are listening will take a moment to step outside of themselves, to take a moment in silence, to really ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to come into their hearts, to really ignite them, to reignite them, to really think about things. Not just with their mind, but with their mind and with their heart, to open themselves up to how to be of service to your fellow man, how to experience this epiphany in your life, how your life is going to change, how it is going to be different, how it is not going to be this kind of this boring thing of going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home. And so we thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio. We thank you for your support of Holy Family Radio and for the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And thank you, Jamin, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And God bless you. Thanks very much.
You have been listening to Epiphany with your host, Deacon Louis Zemlich, on Holy Family Radio. If you have suggestions or comments, you can email us at epiphany@holyfamilyradio.net. Also, if you would like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.